I gave the world my blood last month. I gave the world my love last month.
Arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot right now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Hey, good morning. You're tuned into So Hot right now here on 2SER 107.3. My name's Philip Leeson. I'm filling in for Sophie this morning, bringing you all of the arts and culture stuff from around Sydney, what's been happening, what's coming up over the next week. Coming up on the show, going to be having a chat with Drew Forsyth. We're celebrating 15 years of the iconic Wharf Review. The Australian National Theatre Live partnership with the Sydney Theatre Company is bringing you the show direct from the stage to the cinema screen. So we're going to be speaking with Drew Forsyth of the Wharf Review very shortly. And also coming up, a humble garage in the heart of Blacktown is a home away from home for self-taught barber Charles Lemieux and his five apprentices. And it's not just a modest space to get a haircut, but a kind of hub for local men to congregate and converse. The new exhibition, Garage Barbershop, is going to be capturing the spirit of the shop and masculinity in the men of Blacktown. So stay tuned. That's up next. Got some tunes for you in the meanwhile. Hey, last week our feature album on 2SER was Mac DeMarco's new one, This Old Dog. Big fan of that album. And I want to play one of the tunes from that one to kick off the show for you. This one's called For the First Time. You're tuned into So Hot right now here on 2SER.
Found her at my side, simply being alive. She won't be gone forever. There are many times I find it feels that way. And I'm not trying to forget her, just understand how I'll be feeling on that day. It's just like seeing her for the first time. Just like seeing her for the first time again. The time she's not around, somewhere out of town's been hard. Somehow this old heart found time to work it out this far. No, I know she's coming home soon. There are times I find it hard to feel that way. It's not inside me to forget her, just understand how I'll be feeling. Just like seeing her for the first time again. It's just like seeing her for the first time again. It's just like seeing her first time again. Just like seeing her
first time again.
Kelly Lee Owens right there. That tune, Anxi, featuring Jenny Havale, comes from Kelly Lee Owens' self-titled debut album, which she dropped in April last month. Awesome piece of work. Very nice hybrid of ambient and techno vibes on there. And Jenny Havale appearing on there to do some vocals as well, the Norwegian experimental artist. Great stuff. Up before that, you heard from Mac DeMarco, a track from his latest album as well, a feature album last week on 2SER, for the first time, officially dropped yesterday, that one. Now, there's a new exhibition at the Blacktown Arts Centre called Garage Barbershop, which captures encounters shared in Charles Lemieux's makeshift barbershop, a humble garage where men come to have their hair cut, faded and shaved. But it's more than a place to get a trim. It's a place of camaraderie and mateship in Blacktown. And in a photographic series shot by international fashion photographer Harold David, audiences are presented with an exploration of modern masculinity in this barbershop. Joining us on the line this morning is the exhibition's producer, Christian Tancred, from the Information and Cultural Exchange, ICE. Good morning, Christian.
Morning, Philip. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Thanks very much for joining me.
Pleasure.
Firstly, can you tell us a little bit more about Charles and how he got into the art of barbering, what barbering is for him?
Well, Charles is a long-time recording artist and community worker. And then he decided to go freelance and then realised that he was going to need to supplement his income, as a lot of artists and people that work in cultural development have to do. So he kind of started barbering out of his garage. And then before he knew it, he had this kind of fledgling little business on his hands. And then, you know, it sort of went from there.
Well, it's a nice idea. Getting a chop in someone's garage. It's very homey. Working alongside Charles are his five apprentices. Can you tell us a little bit more about these men? How and why did they become involved in the project?
Yeah, well, so Charles and I have been working together on various things for many years, and when I saw that he was doing this thing in his garage, I just kind of mentioned to him that, you know, there could be a real opportunity for a cultural development project. And he immediately just said, I'd love to teach some young men, you know, the art of barbering, but also kind of how to become men and you know, issues around masculinity and all the things that go along with you know, the craft of barbering. So it's kind of almost like he's created this men's shed in his garage, but without, it's not like, you know, wood and tools, it's clippers and combs.
That's very interesting. I find that barbering in general is really interesting as something which is captures masculinity quite nicely, because on the one side there's hairdressing and barbering, essentially the same thing, but hairdressing gets a very, very feminine brand, whereas barbering has this very, very male brand applied to it. What do you think for these apprentices, the sort of, I don't know, ideas of masculinity that are thrown around in that space for them?
Well, I mean, you often do get negative stereotypes associated with sort of blokiness and masculinity and that sort of thing. And then we also have the negative stereotype that men don't communicate, which I'm not convinced that that's actually true. I think men just communicate in different ways. And so for our five young guys, they're learning about how to communicate with people from all backgrounds. You know, you never know who's going to end up in your chair. But they're also learning about real basic work ethic and business skills and looking after their tools and respect for others. So it's a really, I mean, I didn't realise how positive it was going to be. I must say that the barbering has been an amazing tool to sort of support these young men into their manhood.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's really nice, and to have a space like that is fantastic. Now, photographing the work is the highly acclaimed artist Harold David. How has his background and experience as a photographer and a person influenced Garage Barbershop?
Well, Harold's just been amazing. He's so good to work with, and he's got an incredible range of projects that he's worked on. He's done a lot of projects which, you know, really look at people on the street and people at their workplace, you know, but then he also does the sort of high fashion stuff. So he's brought this really interesting perspective to our project, where he's, sure, it's a workplace, but they're not really, it's not exactly high fashion, but what he's kind of given it that frame, and it's really allowed us to kind of ennoble these young men, but also the people that are coming in and having their hair cut. And there's this beautiful body of work that he's created, and it's portraits. It's sort of a cross-section of men from Blacktown, and it's incredibly diverse, you know, ages and diverse cultural backgrounds, and it's just a really lovely snapshot of Blacktown itself. And again, I think it really belies the potential negative stereotypes that go with some Western Sydney suburbs. You know, you can see these are proud, strong, and very good-looking men, and Harold's work has, you know, really, really kind of given them a little moment in the sun.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic to see. Now, the exhibition is on at the Blacktown Arts Centre, and as I understand, as part of the project, there's also going to be a pop-up barbershop there.
Yeah, so we thought, well, we can't have a barbershop project without a barbershop. So we've built a little install there, and we've worked with the guys from Blacktown Arts Centre have been amazing partners on this project. And so they've allowed us to build a barbershop. So throughout the 3 weeks that the show's run, not only can you see Harold's work and some video portraits that have been created, and lots of great music in the tradition of barbershop quartets, but you can also come and have a haircut. So you can make an appointment. If you go to the Blacktown Arts Centre website, there's an Eventbrite there which you can make an appointment to have a haircut by Charles or one of his 5 apprentices.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Make a whole day of it. Get some errands done.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Well, finally, we've spoken about masculinity, contemporary masculinity, which is sort of a hot topic right now, and it's pertinent timing to be doing this piece. Now, what are you hoping audiences are going to take away from attending Garage Barbershop?
Well, I think from my perspective is that masculinity isn't really about being tough or aggressive or rough around the edges. In fact, it's about being, you know, strong and sort of committed to your community and all of those positive things that especially young men sometimes get confused when they're growing up. But, you know, it's okay to be have a sensitive side, but it's okay to really care about your community and care about your family and your loved ones. And, you know, there's all sorts of things, but also, just to enjoy, if nothing else, just enjoy the aesthetic of the show. It really is beautiful, and it's been beautifully curated by Victoria Harbert, who works with us at Information and Culture Exchange, and Paul Howard at the Blacktown Arts Centre. So I think it stands up on its merit as a contemporary arts show as much as it does as a community development project.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to hear that everything's going so well, and I think that is a very good takeaway for it all. Christian, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All the best. That was producer Christian Tancred discussing Garage Barbershop, the new exhibition at the Blacktown Arts Centre. It opens up on May 11th and runs until the 3rd of June. And if you're interested, you can make an appointment for a cut, fade or shave by Charles Lemieux and the Original Five every Thursday during the exhibition. To book, go to garagebarbershopcuts.eventbrite.com.au. We'll have links and details up on the So Hot Right Now page on 2SER's website. So check that out if you want to find out some more info. Coming up pretty shortly, as you're probably aware, last year was a tough one for the arts in this country. Funding cuts saw a lot of small companies forced to downsize or close their doors. But the arts are resilient, and among all this bad news, there is new life. Last year, our reporter Madeline Clark visited Front Up, a new organisation which is aimed at educating artists of all abilities, and through a combination of Crown and private funding, they're supporting and nurturing some of the country's most underappreciated artists. So Madison's little chat about that is going to be coming up very shortly. Got a tune for you in the meanwhile. This one comes from the Cactus Channel, the Alt Soul Collective from Melbourne. Big group of boys. There's 6 or 7 of them. And they've teamed up with Chet Faker on this tune, or Nick Murphy, as he's now known. Nick Murphy on this track. It's called Kill the Doubt. Cactus Channel right now. You're listening to So Hot Right Now here on 2SER.
You gotta think there's something wrong. Careless ones, not careless next, so what's the point of it at all? I can barely hold my breath, I need to talk to someone now. It could be what I just had, or it could be me somehow. But since there is something wet, I got a feeling you're not there. Talking for the sake of it, you're not the type to pull my hair. I can barely hold my breath, I need to talk to someone now. It could be what I just had, or it could be me somehow. I want you to chill out. I want you to kill the doubt. I want you to chill
back, so what's the point of this at all? I can barely hold my tongue, I need to talk to someone now. It could be what I just had, or it could be my way. Bliss until there's something wet, I got a feeling young, not there. Talking for the sake of it, you're not the type to pull my hair. I can barely hold my breath, I need to talk to someone now. It could be what I just had, or it could be me somehow. I want you to chill out. Out. I want you to chill out. I want you to kill the doubt. I want you to chill.
Gets deep on something, it's awful, it's awful, it's pain on the button, it's full of that self-discovery, can't discover me, God alone governs me. I know they don't like the word, but I shall observe and I shall do service. Here in the pulpit, the dub po-po, oomps and knows it, the twitch is low. Get to the black, let's get to the facts. The poor don't relax, the poor do funk, it's so clap. Twist and adapt, but turn to Jesus black, cause we believe it's that way. Full of that, know me, spirit, can't control me, spirit, can't console me, spirit, get to know me, spirit, get to grow me, spirit, now. Out there, prepare for who and the wherefore, the stab and the tearful, me and the tearful, ever so careful, full of the feeling, revealed in the latest hot heat, the cleavage knockout, knocking it out, you know, hide the salami, dropping it out, no dough, keep flopping it out, keep thinking of a master plan, do for must and sure I can, shall expand with the brand of the anti-brand, that nobody likes us, the true survivors, rolling in spite of being the most misunderstood. Plunder good, bad and ugly. We keep it cuddly, stay in the tuck me, pulling the rugby, cannot mug me, can't outplug me. Forgiven in a thank you, Lord. Never too late to thank you, Lord. Full force in a blanket fall. Hold a dream and be some more. Can't escape universal law. First in line for the cause and call. Bound to make one more tour. Lose to win and take the fall. Keep a hold of the golden breath. Fear for nothing in life or death. Seen the scene of the pearly gates. New black Jesus, we can't wait. Kiss myself and kiss the ground. Feeling most uplifted now. Me and my God lead a pureness love. Known to be about what pureness does. On the flame.
Don't breathe out. I know you will. Don't your brain.
Roots Maneuver, right there, Don't Breathe Out is the name of that tune from Roots Maneuver's 2015 album Bleed. Bit of a conspiracy around that song. You might have noticed the voice singing the chorus hook sounds an awful lot like Justin Vernon, the frontman of Bon Iver. It's actually not. It just sounds a lot like him. It's another guy called Silas. So there you go. A little bit of trivia. Up before that one, you heard from the Cactus Channel and Nick Murphy, a tune from those guys. A Kill the Doubt is the name of that one. You're tuned into So Hot right now here on 2SER. My name's Philip Leeson, filling in for Sophie this morning. Now, as you may be aware, it's been a tough time for arts in the country over the last 12 months. The last budget wasn't too kind. The new budget's due out, and hopefully that'll be a little nicer on the arts 2017. But funding cuts saw a lot of small companies forced to downsize or close their doors even. The arts are, of course, resilient, and there is new life in among all this bad news about the arts. Last year, one of our reporters, Madeline Clark, visited Front Up. It's an organisation aiming to educate artists of all sort of different ability levels. And through a combination of government and private funding, they are supporting and nurturing some of the country's most underappreciated artists. So here's a little piece from Madeline about her experience with Front Up.
In Seven Hills in Sydney's west, there's a high-ceilinged warehouse buzzing with voices and action. This is Front Up, a community hub for artists living and working with a disability. I met some of the emerging artists at the hub in the lead-up to their first exhibition, I'm Still Here. I'd like to introduce them to you.
So these are some of the acrylic skin paintings that I'm doing. I'm going to have a big container. These are going to be spread out around the outside as roots or rhizomes coming from a place of sort of nature combined with science. Yep. And then when you enter the container, it's going to be a dark space, and there's going to be three big LCD screens with footage I've taken. That is my interpretation of living with a disability, living with mental health issues, living with trauma. But it sounds really intense, but it's actually really calming. There's beautiful rainbow colours, there's really soft, calming underwater footage.
My name's Sarah Vine Vassallo, and I'm the assistant director and also one of the lead artists in the Emerge pilot program. The Emerge pilot program has been basically a collaborative process working with seven emerging artists, and part of the creative team's role has been to support, foster, to act as provocateurs, to perhaps, you know, push people in uncomfortable directions that ultimately support their art. It's definitely about us working within the scope of the artist's interests, the artist's, you know, creative desires, and then kind of shaking it up and messing it around and hopefully exploding it in an inspiring way.
So this heart is actually printed onto a kitchen sponge because I find that artists, we absorb people's feelings and emotions, what's happening. Oh, have a look at these fantastic nipples.
Yeah. Breathe the nipples.
Feel them. They're out of makeup sponges, but they look a bit harder than they actually are. Because I wanted to say, show that Frida was one of the first feminists unintentionally, because she went through so much trauma, but she came out on top and she even superseded her husband. Mm. She became more famous than Diego. I'm Rebecca. I'm an artist and I also work a lot with people with disabilities.
when we went to the Art Gallery of New South Wales, I was really taken by the Frida Kahlo exhibition, and it took me back to my recovery from brain injury, mm-hmm. where I used Frida Kahlo as my inspiration to get back into art. So we've got a Frida Kahlo inspired installation with body casts similar to the ones that she wore. Front up means it means that we have a chance to get our names and our work back out into the environment where it belongs with other artists, not just in a disability context.
My name's Jocelyn Stanley. I suppose my disability, which we call invisible disabilities, depression. So I kind of hadn't been doing any art or, not getting anywhere with it because, just not having any confidence in my work. This project has really brought out everything in me.
I'm Patch.
I'm Suna.
This is for Rosalind's work, and we are building gigantic feet for her massive mannequins made out of newspaper, cardboard, plastic bottles, and a lot of tape. Would be putting it mildly, a lot of tape.
Okay. Yeah, that's masking tape. I'm making the hands.
Hi, my name's M. Sunflower. I have to work within the parameters that I can deal with, and so everything that I do is about that. I think my story can inspire other people who are in a similar position, who have been suicidal, who have been close to leaving, and they need to know that people have been there and come back from it.
It's not necessarily about pushing a political agenda. It is actually really honouring our creative selves. Our creative selves are not limited by physical or neurological diversity. Our creative selves are incredibly beautiful and brilliant and huge parts of ourselves that, should be honoured, celebrated, shared, acknowledged and exhibited.
That piece there, that comes from Madeline Clark, one of our reporters for So Hot Right Now. That was, at the end, the creative director of the Front Up Emerge program, Kay Armstrong, who you just heard ending the piece with our reporter, Madeline Clark. For more information about the latest offerings by Front Up, you can head to frontup.org.au, or you can find all the links required on 2SER's website under So Hot Right Now on our little section there. You'll be able to find out much more info. My name's Philip Leeson, with you on So Hot Right Now. I'm filling in for Sophie this week. Coming up, to celebrate 15 years of the iconic Wharf Revue, the Australian National Theatre Live, in partnership with the Sydney Theatre Company, is bringing you the show direct to the stage, from the stage and to the cinema screen. Up next, we're going to be talking with Drew Forsyth, one of the Wharf Revue's creators and writers, about all that's going on with that. And very shortly, I'm going to be playing you one of the new tracks from LCD Sound System. I'm super excited. They've dropped their first new music in quite a while, and it's all raring to go. So that's going to be coming up very shortly. This tune for you, though, Kendrick Lamar from his brand spanking new album, Damn, that everyone's lost it over. This track, Yah. You're on the So Hot Right Now here on 2SER.
Yeah.
I got so many theories and suspicions. I'm diagnosed with real nigga conditions. Today is the day I follow my intuition. Keep the family close, get money, fuck bitches. I double parked the Austin in the red. My mama told me that I'ma work myself to death. My girl told me don't let these hoes get in my head. My world been ecstatic, I checked the signal, that red. Buzzing, radars is buzzing. Yeah, yeah. Fox News wanna use my name for percentage. My latest news is my niece, she worth living. See me on the TV and scream, that's Uncle Kendrick. Yeah, that's the business. Somebody tell Gerardo this nigga got some ambition. I'm not a politician, I'm not about a religion. I'm an Israelite, don't call me black no more. That word is only a color, it ain't facts no more. My cousin Carl, Duckworth said know my worth. And Deuteronomy say that we all been cursed. I know he walks the earth, but it's money to get, bitches to hit. Yeah, zeros to flip, temptation is, yeah, first on my list, I can't resist, yeah. Everyone together now, know that we forever buzzing. Radars is buzzing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Buzzing. Radars is buzzing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. siento por dentro. Mira que reviento por dentro.
That was Arca right there.
That tune, Desafio, that comes from Arca's latest album, self-titled, with another horrific cover. He's been consistent. Very controversial guy, very interesting guy, Arca. And he's released three albums in the last few years, which have all done very nicely. And yeah, the latest self-titled one came out about a month ago now. And it's a doozy of an album, that tune. From that one, so check it out. Up before that, you heard from Kendrick Lamar with Yar from his new album, Damn. Now, for those of you who don't know, The Wharf Review brings together the unstoppable comedic minds of Amanda Bishop, Jonathan Biggins, Philip Scott, and our current guest, Drew Forsyth. Now, together they have kept the nation's political and cultural leaders on their toes and kept us all up to date with the good, bad, and the ugly moments of Australian politics. And after 15 years of relentless satire, The Wharf Review is now extending beyond the stage and to the screen. Filmed live on stage at STC's Wharf Theatre, The Wharf Review celebrating 15 years is the perfect opportunity to see the production for the first time, see what it's about, and experience the thrill all over again. To talk to me a little bit more about and what you can expect, I'm joined by Drew Forsyth of The Wharf Review. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, Philip. Good to be here.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, what I understand so far is The Wharf Review's anniversary edition is going to have something of a who's who of 21st century embarrassments, and you're going to go back through past year's Wharf Reviews.
That's right.
It's a
bit of a rehash of some of our old memories and some of the ones that were current in 2015 when this was actually shot on stage at the Wharf Theatre at the Sydney Theatre Company. So, yeah, you'll see... some old favourites like Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard and even Alexander kind of pops his head up, Alexander Downer. So and he's been gone for quite some time. But, and it's interesting some of the subjects we delve into. The stories, some of the personnel have changed a bit, but the stories still basically remain the same. Or at least have until we've been inundated with Trump and his supporters and several other people like that across the globe.
Mm.
So things have changed a little more radically in the last 2 years. But it's interesting to look back, I guess, over the 15 years that we covered in the show that was filmed and will be on at the Dendy next week.
Mm. Yeah, it is a radical time. And 15 years is a really long time to look through politically, to flip through the pages of the past. And you guys would have amassed hundreds of sketches about a lot of politicians, like Alexander Downer, who you mentioned, who I think a lot of the world's completely forgotten about. What was the process in choosing which sketches that would make it through to this anniversary special and which politicians deserve to get a mention?
Oh, look, it's actually been a while now since we did this and my memory's a little hazy. But I think we kind of picked the ones that we thought. Well, for instance, there's one where Kevin Rudd is disguised as the Phantom of the Opera and comes to hijack Julia Gillard at a press conference and takes her down into the dungeon. And that's a rather long piece, and it was always it's beautifully sung, and the music's very good, and it tells a story, I suppose, of their tumultuous relationship, and covers quite a few years. So that was a good one to do because it got quite a few things out of the way, and also it allowed us to bring in odd bods like Alexander Downer, who wanders into the toilet in the basement and actually confronts them at one point. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, and has to leave. I think we covered the refugees, which was a story that has just churned on and on and on ever since the Tampa and even before that, I suppose, and has never been resolved and doesn't look like being resolved. Jonathan Biggins does a particularly good Paul Keating, and Paul always serves us well by sticking his head up roughly around about the time we're about to open with a new review, and so it's always entitled to venture back to him. I can't remember whether we do a Bob Brown or not. We have covered him in the past. We do odd people like Jeffrey Robertson, for instance, opens the show. And in that particular show, we did a whole sketch which was about the Liberal Party, and we did it in a kind of Les Mis theme. And we were on the road. We'd opened the show in Wollongong and Dunpenrith and Parramatta, and we'd just driven down to Canberra on the Monday to open the show on the Tuesday down there for a two-week season down in Canberra. And it just so happened that on that Monday, Malcolm Turnbull called for a spill of the leadership. And by the end of the night, Tony Abbott was gone and Malcolm had become leader. And we had to spend the rest of the night rewriting a sketch and then learning it and then performing it on Tuesday night. So there are certain things like that happened. You actually, on the film, you actually see the end result of that. Mm. But, these are things that happen along the way with us all the time when you're trying to do something that is very political. Politics changes very quickly sometimes, and sometimes not.
Yeah, well, that was going to be one of the questions I have for you. So you do actually find yourselves having to update the show as you go through to maintain, or to keep up with what's happened since you started.
We try to pick subjects that are going to have a bit of a use-by date, a long use-by date. But inevitably, something will always happen behind the scenes that takes us by surprise. That certainly took us by surprise. Mostly we see these things coming. We've got our ears to the ground and are reasonably politically savvy. Tony Abbott didn't see it coming, and neither did we. This year, we're actually starting writing the new show right now for 2017. We hope that Malcolm will last a little bit longer than Tony did, because we've got him, we'll be covering him in this next show, and I think Donald Trump will be around for a little bit longer. Is that me crackling or is that you?
Oh, I'm not sure. There does seem to be a ghost in the phone line. Well, you mentioned before, talking about that sketch which you have with the Phantom of the Opera and Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard. And I think it's quite interesting that almost seems to be repeating itself at the moment with Malcolm Turnbull and Tony Abbott, that same sort of back and forth. And I would imagine over the years, you've watched a lot of things which have just seems to be repeating themselves in a cycle. Is that something that you find?
Well, look, I think in the past things were a little more stable. I mean, it has happened before. Paul Keating got rid of Bob Hawke, and that was a bit of a drawn-out affair. And the first tilt at the leadership by Keating didn't exactly work, and he went back to the backbench. and I think we could all see it happening. But Hawking had been in for like 9 or 10 years. We don't normally, never in the past had we seen it happen where a prime minister who'd been in for 1 year, as in the case of Abbott, or 2 years, as in the case of Rudd, we'd never seen that happen. And I remember we were all shocked when Rudd was turfed out of office. We couldn't believe it had happened and that anybody would dare to do it. It seemed like, and it proved to be political suicide for a party. It seems like it's become, a recurrent theme. And, even in New South Wales, I don't think Baird was actually forced to go. I think it was a choice he made. But, and Barry O'Farrell, before him, jumped ship. And I guess perhaps we should have seen the seed for that kind of politicking happen with New South Wales Labor under the rotating office of Yemmer and Christina Keneally and I can't remember the name of the premier that she replaced. It's certainly not the politics of old. It's not the politics of Menzies and Whitlam or Fraser or Hawke, really. It's, or Howard, for that matter. It's much more unstable, I think, and I don't think that's good for the country. I think it means that popularism is what drives policy, and not the way it is. Mm.
Drew, the phone line just won't relent. But thank you so much for joining me this morning to have a chat about your anniversary show. And all the best. Very excited to see this year's Morph Review. I've gone every year since I was 12. So,
goodness me. Good on you.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where things go. So, yeah, I've watched all of the havoc unfold. Yeah, I'm very excited to see where things go in 2017. Thanks so much for having a chat to me this morning.
Thanks a lot, Philip. All the best.
That was Drew Forsyth right there. Drew Forsyth is one of the writers and creators of the Wharf Review, the annual political satire review, which is held at the Wharf Theatre, and chatting to me this morning about the anniversary edition, which was filmed, and you can catch the film of that being played at the Dendy Cinemas in Circular Quay on May 9th. Tickets are $24. We're going to put links up on our show page that's so hot right now on the 2SER website, and you can find out more about that there. That's about all that we have time for this morning on So Hot Right Now. My name's Philip Leeson. I've been filling in for Sophie. Our big thanks this morning to producers Nicole and Madeline for all their work. I promised you a new LCD sound system earlier, and I will give it to you now. Taking you out, they just dropped a brand new single, two singles. I'm going to play one of them. It's called Call the Police. This is LCD Sound System. My name's Philip Leeson. I've been with you for the last hour. Stick around. You're on 2SER.